I said, you damn crook, you crook, you steal it any time I come over here. I don't steal from you. They got held up the other night.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, she was telling me about it. She said, that kid was shaking like that. I said, were you shaking? She said, I was shaking worse than he was.
I was a young kid?
About 17 years old.
Yeah, there was a burglary in San Antonio about a month ago where a kid came into a 7-Eleven store and there was an old man on it. And this guy said, you know, this is a stick-up. And the old man reached under the counter and he pulled out a 44 horse pistol of some kind. Not a cap and ball, no, a cartridge pistol, some kind of really old-fashioned revolver. And fired it about three times at this guy and scared him so bad he missed him all three times. But he scared the guy so bad that he dropped his gun and he tore out of the place and the old man came after him with his pistol and fired it again out on the street. And the guy ran about a half block and ran into an open door and ran into a karate parlor. And the guy running the karate parlor, they didn't like to kill him before the police got there.
Sounds like San Antonio.
Oh, that place over here. In the last year or so, here, about a year and a half, I bet they've been robbed 10 times. Sometimes I was getting to think they had the niggas working in there. Kind of think they would have put up jobs.
Yeah.
You know, they.
I was told them to come in and get money.
Yeah, and then they divide it up.
Yeah.
Split it. I was over there one day and they had made the collections on all the 7-Eleven stores. I think they had close to $11,000. And this guy that held him up, he was following him, see? And this was his last stop over here.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And
you wouldn't think, you'd think every individual one was taken.
No, he waited until he got all the money from every one of them. I think there's about five or six of them here. And after he got all the money, see, and I guess he's going to take it and put it in the bank. And he held him up. Mm. He held him up with a wooden gun.
Sure.
A wooden gun.
That way you can't get another, you can't charge him with armed robbery.
Well, he stole his car. He took his car. And left his gun in there, got over by Piggly Wiggs on 16th Boulevard, and he stole another car and got away. They never did catch him. And I was in there just about 2 minutes before it happened, after it happened. I mean, before it happened.
Oh.
I got home and then they out and they said, 7-Eleven just got robbed.
Do you remember, did the president ever come here? What presidents came to Galveston?
Oh, a president and, what's the guy that had there? He was crippled.
Roosevelt,
yeah, Roosevelt come in. Oh, hell, he drove him all along a bully board. And he had a big time there. I mean, that's the only president come here.
Was that when they opened the federal building, or when was that?
No, I don't know what that was for. But he was visiting, he comes through Houston. And when he came, he said, well, I got to Houston, he said, I'm going to Galveston. And everybody was out waiting and looking for him. Come right on out of the boulevard, right on over here by the hospital, right on back. The President Roosevelt.
When was that?
Oh, hell, right when he first got in. What year did he get in? 32, yeah. About 33. Yeah, he was sitting up there.
He came down here on a fishing trip. As a matter of fact, on his yacht.
Well, that might have been the time he come here, yeah.
And he met with Governor Allred in either Galveston or Corpus. I don't remember which.
I don't remember any of the governors. Do you remember when they impeached Governor Ferguson?
Yeah, no Mark Perkins in there?
Yeah, Mark Ferguson.
Yeah, that man, he'd take and sell a cow for a dollar. Yeah, he but they say he was a good governor, I don't know. What the hell, he'd sell anything.
Is that thing wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about about being a Struman.
Oh, I went to work in 1926. cotton screwing. That's when he had the big jack. And jacks weighed 250 pounds, didn't he? They had a regular handle on it, could spindle. And all the weight was in that one end, see? And if you didn't know how to pick that thing up, you wouldn't pick it through the other end. You pick it, you couldn't budge it. So when I first started working, they told me, said, hey boy, said, oh, hell, I was husky, man. Hell, husky as hell. Go get us a screw. I went on over there and down over there. I went to pick it up and I couldn't move it. And they were all laughing at the devil at me. And I had one boy that was raised with Harry Hempel. He lived on 9th Mechanic there. We were good friends. He raised his old friend. So he said, come on over and show me how to pick it up. You gotta pick it up, you gotta put one hand with all the weight in and one hand back there. And you could pick that thing up just like you're picking a cup and walk away with it. Then they had great big posts, big old hickory posts. Them things weighed 200, 250 pounds, and oh hell, they was way high in the ceiling. And they, about 12, 14 foot long, see? And they had gouges cut out in them. And you take that screw, and you put one end in that gouge, and the other end up against the cotton, see? Then there'd be four men around that screw. And they had his handle, and they'd pull. And one pull this way, and the other would take it, and he'd pull, just keep it pulling. And he just jam that cotton right up. You take a space, about as wide as your table. Now, a bale of cotton on a cant, they've got a cant in the right way, see? A cant is where that burlap, see? You get the top of the burlap, and it's on the bottom. And on the side, it shows cotton. That's the right way, and in the cant would be on with a burlap there. And I think it's one of them is 28 inches wide. That's the top of the cant, and the other one is 24. See? Well, you take now. That's 2 4. That's 4 bales. That's 2 4 6 8 feet, and that space that big. Now you would you'd bet your life that they wouldn't get them 8 bales in there. But what they'd do, they'd roll that cotton in, see, and let that space there. Then it'd be one gang on this side, and one on here with them posts. Then you start heaving away, and they just bring that cotton. Oh hell, they'd bring it so goddamn tight. And they'd open that space, big enough for about 3 bales. Now they'd take 2 bales, come up this way with it, and another one on the top, see? And that thing would just fall right in it. And if it was too tight, they couldn't get in there, then they took a screw and run it from the deck of the ship on the cotton and screwed that thing down. And had you
oh, that's what they call a screw for. Yeah. Screw it up tight in the hole.
Tight,
of the ship.
Yeah, that was yeah. On kind of space. He didn't have the space them days.
Well, then once you got it compressed, did you bale it up or something with wire? Or
no. It's there. It went together.
It didn't pop back.
No, hell.
It was already bailed, right?
Well, now, was the cotton in the hole of the ship when you were doing this?
Yeah, right in the bottom of the hole.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell me, what did you use the cotton hook for? Did you say you walk it along?
The cotton hook, no, you roll it, see? You take a cotton hook and you roll. You take it, there's 4 men in a gang. Well, there's 5 in a gang. And there's 2 on the wharf, 2 men in the hole, and 1 gang at the winch.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they got 3 sets of what it is. It's 15 men. And there's two sets. In the ships, one will take a quarter, that's 2 hours, and the other one takes a half, so you draw straws for it. And one got the short straw, he got half a day in a hole, one got the middle size straw, he got a quarter in a hole. One had a long straw, had to get on a wharf and truck it. Well, after he trucked his quarter, he come in a hole, the man had the short and the middle straw, he went out for 2 hours. Then when he got finished, the guy that was in there for 4 hours, they had a short straw, he went out.
That me in the hole was the hardest job?
No, that was the easiest.
That was the easiest job. Yeah.
Trucking it down the wharf the hardest?
Oh yeah, well, unless you got a close place. But sometimes they'd have that cotton, they call mileage cotton.
What do you call it?
Mileage. It's got to be within 200 feet. See, we got 18 cents a bale for it. 18 cents for each bale. That was split between 15 men. And,
18 cents split 15 ways?
15 ways.
You didn't make much for hauling that cotton, did you?
Well, I made 10.65 a day for a day's work. 801 bales. But now, Jesus Christ.
How many hours a day did you work?
Well, sometime you caught a shift. You worked all day and didn't get 300 bales. Then sometime you caught a shift, you worked till 1 o'clock and you had a day's work, 10.65.
Mm-hmm.
Then after that you got overtime for it, if you had to work overtime.
Now, see, once you'd earned 10.65, your time was full.
Well, how many men would roll a cotton bale down the wharf? How many men?
There'd be 4 men on the wharf trucking.
But how many men on each bale?
Just one. One man.
Well, how much does a bale weigh?
500, 600, 700, 800 pounds.
Now, how's he going to move it all by himself?
Well, but a truck. See, there's a way. The way you hook that bale, see? Now, they got bands. You've seen the bands all around.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you got to hook it till about the third band from the bottom. And when you hit that, that hits on that truck, and you can take your truck like that. Just walk with it.
Was it a two-wheel thing? You're talking about the truck?
Two-wheel, nine-truck. Yeah, the truck weighed 150 pounds.
The truck weighed 150 pounds?
Yeah,
and the bale weighed 500?
500.
How much did you weigh?
I weighed 140.
But you mean the truck was a two-wheel truck?
Yeah, two. Like a dolly. Just had the handle, see?
Yeah.
And you put it.
So with the truck and the bale, you were talking about maybe 700-800 pounds?
Yeah.
And you weighed 140 pounds?
Mm-hmm.
And you spend all day doing that?
Spend all day, hell, I'd spend sometime 12 o'clock at night. Sometime work all night with that stuff.
Then would you hook it onto the boom when you got it up?
Yeah,
the
they had a
swing it down the
hook. Yeah, they had a man on a winch. Yeah, they had 3 toters. Each toter had a gang, see, for 5 men, or 4 men. Himself made 5. That's
right.
15
right.
Men. And they also, if the, like he, the man, the one who got that long straw, he got the wharf, so he had a guy trucking. Well, his boss, his toter, they call him a toter, he had to be out there with him. He'd done the collecting on the cotton, getting the cotton. And one had a middle size to him. He was a gangway man. He was up there where he pulled that door, dolly down and shove it down and come going up and stand up there and the man at the winch. He had the short saw, he'd ice it down, see.
You mean they pulled the dolly up the gangplank?
No, they pulled the bales. They rolled the bales in there, 3 bales at a time.
Oh, but they rolled the bales up the
gangplank? Yeah, they had a sling, a regular rope sling.
Yeah.
A rope sling, you stretch that rope sling out, see.
Yeah.
And they had a knife spicing it.
Yeah.
And they just throw that over there and then hook that eye in there and hook it onto that thing and the whole 3 bales go up. And then when you get up over the middle of the hole, then you let it down.
Yeah.
Then the 4 men in the hole, they'd land it and they'd roll it and store it.
That stuff ever break and fall in the hole?
Oh, God darn, yeah. Me and Harry Hempel, that one I was telling you about, no man paid. He was crazy. He's howling, don't run, he said, you done that kid is dead. Well, this day, you can hear it when that thing it hits, it's got some beams up there where it comes across and the hatches go in there. You know, big iron beams. And I guess, oh, Jesus Christ, I guess them things weigh, oh, hell, they must weigh 5,000-6,000 pounds. They're all solid iron. It goes from one side of the hatch to the ship to the other side. And when they landed the load, they went up with this hook and had a big hook about that big, see? And that hook hits that thing and pulls it out and down the hole it comes. Well, I weighed that thing when it hit. You can hear when it wrapped around, see? And I run, and I couldn't see it doing anything until it hit the bulkhead. It was about 15 feet away. I hit that bulkhead and it's sitting there right back on my can. Just run right into it. I got nine. And right where I was standing, my cotton hook, that thing hit that cotton hook and weighed that cotton hook down into that bale and I couldn't get it out. Now that's it, but it cut me in two. And old man paid, he hollered, don't run. I said, you crazy old fool, you nuts. Man, he was a crabby old man. God damn. And, oh hell, he was one of the best pitchers they had in Galton at one time.
Baseball?
Kid, yeah. He played with this old Scalpers, the first team Galveston had here.
Scalpers.
Yep.
Oh, Scalpers.
Yeah, they caught Christ, that's way back in, oh, Christ, in my head, back in 1903.
Is that Texas League team or what?
Yeah, he was Texas League. And where he had a ball, it hit his fingers. He was a great pitcher. It bent all his fingers up like that.
Did you belong to the Screwman's Association?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, I joined the Screwman's, yeah. And we paid so much a quarter. And see, they assess you so much for debt. And sometime during quarters, it's 3 months to a quarter, see? And here, sometime it'd run $24. Well, you get three or four or five debts. And I think it was $5 to a man, I believe, or $7, something like that, each man.
Well, were those people who were killed on the job?
Or died, no, died.
Just died, no.
Yeah, see.
Y'all have many people killed on the wharf?
Oh, yeah, they had a bunch of them killed on the wharf, yeah. I was working down there one day, and I was on one of them looking back boats on Pier 39. And I told his name was old man Tuggerson. Oh hell, he was about 75 years old. And drink, man, he could drink. He was working there. He was on the gangplank. No, he was running the winch. And old man Miller, he was on a gangway, see? And them, they called them a looking back boat. They had all kinds of
Mary
looking back. Yeah,
yeah. James looking back, yeah.
Yeah, and they had all them boxes, see? And they stopped in the top of the hatch and unload that stuff. Well, this guy, old man Ferguson, at the winch, he went ahead with that thing. And he threw that load out there and then load and hit old man Miller. Hit his leg here and bounced him up back against the hatch, you know, and he didn't mash it. It didn't mash it off, but it mashed it pretty numb. Then he come out there and he got white. Then there was Anton Hansen and two other guys working there. And this guy, I forget what his name was, running the winch. No, it wasn't Clayton. I forget who it was, but anyway, he went up with it. And where they had been taking them boxes out was a hole about that deep, see? And they went on up with that thing and he caught one of those beams. And this guy, one guy wrote it, and he just cut it all up in here.
Hmm.
Man, it cut him. And on Anton Hansen, he fell backwards and his head went into this hole. Well, when this big beam came down, it fell right across his head. But it didn't put a scratch on him because the boxer stopped it.
And he was down in the hole?
Down in that hole with his head. He hadn't hit it, cut it off.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was another guy down there. He was looking over the side of the hatch, see? He got, you know, had a great deep sea and great big old iron hatches and bent over like that. And they come up a load. I forget what it all on. It was a smelter or a lid or something. Anyway, this load got over there and hit that guy and cut him right to his body. Went on down to the bottom of the hole. His body stayed over the deck.
Pretty rough business.
Oh, man. And I was working out Pier 27 and another old toter down there. And it wasn't very far, it was about the height of the ceiling, see, we was working in the top deck. The other bottom hole in the tween deck.
About 8 feet, I guess.
Yeah. The tween deck was loaded, but we was come up in the top deck, see, finishing that out. And he was at the gangplank there. And he turned his back and started walking over to the hatch and, you know, waiting for him to come down. And that load caught him, he come down. He sounded like a corn sack hit that floor. Man, he went plump, like a dead weight. And then, well, it didn't kill him, it bummed him up pretty good. He was in the hospital for a long time. But he fell right alongside me. I didn't like that.
Are there a lot of Hansons around here?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of there. Oh, hell, there must have been about 10 of them working on the wall. There's Anton Hanson and Arthur Hanson and... Oh, there was a bunch of Hanson working on the wall. But old man Ferguson, man, he could drink. We had Ferguson, myself, Harry Hempel, and George, he retired now, he lived up in, I think his name after all.
Hey, do you remember when they had the big stars that used to come here? Didn't they used to have a lot of famous people come here?
Oh, yeah, well, the one they had in Florida was in the road shows in that year. I worked the Grand Opera, I was in. L.G. Fields coming here and all that.
Who? L.G. Fields?
Yeah, L.G. Fields and, what's this guy that died here not so long ago? This great comedian, a great singer, Al Jolson?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I sit back at the stage and talk with him back there.
With Al Jolson?
Al Jolson and, he had another great big guy. He was a tenor. He had a beautiful voice. I forget what his name was.
McCormick?
Mm-mm. No. I mean, I've said his name 1,001 times.
Shall help him?
Mm-mm.
Colonel Caruso?
No.
Who's that?
He's a big tenor singer.
Who's that black fighter? Was it
him? Jack Johnson.
Did you ever know him when you...
No, I've seen him, but I didn't know him to talk to or nothing. I've seen him. He lived right down over here. On the Strand.
Did you ever see him fight?
Mm-hmm. No, he went to Beaumont and place he's fighting. Well, that's the old man Page, the one I was talking about playing baseball. He helped train him too. Yeah, he helped train him. Well, they had a rough bunch of characters here them days. And they had a bunch of Irishmen working down there on the wharf. Great big old Weltons. They had about 4 or 5 of them all in the culture, great big crusty guy. They looked like wrestlers. And there was the other name. I don't know, anyway, they had a bunch of them and Swedes. They had plenty of Swedes in there too.
Say, did whatever happened to Gene Marinelli?
He died.
Did he? Did they close that place down, or is it still going?
No, it's still going. I don't know who's got it now. You know, Duke got out of it. Oh, he retired, old Duke.
Yeah, what was his name, last name? You remember?
What did you say his name was? Martinelli?
Yeah.
Duke, right now. I don't know what his first name was. They call him Duke. His name is Martinelli, too.
Marinelli.
Marinelli. Well, that's Gene's brother, yeah. Mm-hmm. He was a bitty guy. He's coming. He didn't get
it. Well,
we'll
have to go by that place. What was the name of that place when Tony had it?
What the hell? The name of that place now.
Was it the Hollywood?
Hollywood, yeah, that's it.
That's a barbershop.
Barbershop, yeah.
I remember going in there when I was a kid. They still had about, what, 8 chairs in there or something?
Well, that 15-chair barbershop or something.
Wasn't it pretty, didn't you say, was it one time that big when he ran it, when Tony ran it?
Oh, Tony, he had about 10 chairs. But Tony was on this side. And after Tony had died, they got on the other side next to
Martini Theater.
Martini.
They just moved across the street.
No,
yeah.
The State Theater, didn't it?
No, it's Martini.
Oh, both of them? No, that's State.
No, that barbershop is right next door to the Martini Theater. It's on, what's it?
That's right, yeah.
Right down from St. Patrick.
Yeah.
St. Mary's.
Yeah.
That was a great barbershop. When I was a kid, I remember going in there. I never been in a barbershop with so many chairs. They all knew
Tony,
Grandpa.
Was
all were they all Italian barbers in there, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, they had, every one of them Italian. I forget what the other two brothers were. His daddy used to run one on 20th and Mechanic there back in 1915, 16. That's where the kids learned it. I used to go in there all the time.
That's when I lived in Galveston. About 1912.
Yeah.
I bet Galveston was wonderful.
Oh, I've seen pictures of Uncle Tony. He was a big man. Had curly hair. He didn't he have a lot of money? He always had a lot of money.
He had a lot of money, but he went broke gambling. He'd pull them tip books. He'd grab a handful of them tip books and ain't looking like nothing. Horse racing and that. That man made a fortune there.
Did you ever go out to that racetrack they had in Galveston?
The only one I went out to when they had a dog race. I didn't go out the other one.
I didn't know they had dog races, sir.
Yeah, they had dog races here on 61st Street, yeah.
When was that?
Oh, that was back in about 1931. Yeah, they had. They had dog races here.
Did you ever go to the cockfights since you said you used to be a big cockfights down there?
Yeah, but I didn't go to none of
those. What? Tell me about these dog races. Did they have live rabbits? Or?
No, they had a rabbit on a wood somehow or another.
Yeah, on the
machine. Yeah, mechanical. Yeah. And they got there by 6 months, I guess. And the people got to gambling so much, yeah, well, they closed it up.
Do you remember when the Rangers came to town?
Oh hell yeah. Yeah, I remember Rangers. Yeah, we're busy. We're working on a walk now at Pier 15. Got a great big old bohemian. He lived on 12th Mechanic there, and he was making that homebrew beer, see? And, about 11 o'clock, they raided these place. Jesus, they took axes and then they chopped the washstands to pieces and chopped all his furniture, all the pieces.
Rangers?
Yeah, broke all his bottles and all, and somebody come down and told him about it. Then when he come home, they arrested him. He paid a fine, but he didn't do no time. But Jesus, they wrecked his face. Went right in there with big axes and just cut his... It's like he's coming to his house with an axe and cut all his furniture, all his pieces. And that's what this is a good one, the Peace and Fire Commission. Not the Peace and Fire Commission, but Chief Department.
Sheriff Department.
No, the Fire Police Department Chief.
Who?
What the hell was his name? His name was
Machine?
No. Goodrich. Goodrich. And at the time they had the districts out here, see, wide open. It was from 25th Street to 29th Street and from Market to Church, see.
That's a pretty wide area.
Oh,
there's a lot of houses down there.
There's all young women in there. And they wasn't wanting to close them up, see. And he did. You know what that guy done? He dressed it up like a woman, disguised himself like a man. And went down and caught them women and arrested them. Then after that, he got the Rangers in here and they closed them all up.
When was that?
That was in 1936. About 36.
Well, it sounds like they closed Galveston up a lot of times.
Oh, yeah. Well, they closed them up for good. That's when he was going on the speech thing, you see. That's like I say about this one, Madge Maceo, and the one he was talking about got killed last night. Over Hickson and made me die, see, they'd be out on the boulevard out there, and that's where, you know, they pick up the dates and that. And then they'd go out after them cedars out there. But that Mad Maceo, she was sure a beautiful woman. She had a bunch of diamonds, not a bunch of diamonds, but like two diamonds. Oh, I don't know how much it was worth, $7,000. And when they found it, it was worth $7,000. And when they found the wife, the diamonds was gone, the rings and all was gone. They just shot her right in the head. I went down ahead, and Barbara's funeral was on 24th and Post Office. They had a garage on one end and funeral. To this day, her husband. So after they told me about it, I went on and looked at it. She was laying in there. She's a beautiful woman. I saw her. She was she's going to get a woman. But I don't know why he attacked the fight or something. But I don't know why he attacked the rings. Fight or something. But I don't know why he had the money them there.
Didn't you say that the high sales cut hair for Uncle Tom?
Right. When the police come here, yeah.
Were they Italian or were they Sicilians?
Part of Italy to come from there. Part of Italy to come from there. Yeah, they come over here. They didn't have a dime.
Did you say you ever saw any black hands on them? Did you say you ever saw any black hands on them?